Hi, this is Tiffany Johnson, reading from her new forthcoming novel, Faith, which tells the story of a teenage girl chasing her somewhat reluctant faith in God. Holding her breath, Aria turned the ignition in the car her grandparents gave her. As promised, their mechanic friend had fixed its mechanical problems, but as also promised, the car was ancient. It was a pale blue 1960s Chevrolet with a passenger side door that only opened when it wanted to. Sometimes the car cranked and sometimes it didn't. The mechanic said he couldn't explain that. He'd corrected all the engine problems. He guessed the car was just old and picky. Thankfully, though, it cranked for her, and Aria pulled out of the driveway. She didn't really know where she was going or what she wanted to do, but she knew she needed time away from the house. Soon she was driving the two-lane road toward town and decided to turn on the radio. When she did, she heard someone she didn't know singing Amazing Grace. Aria's entire body steeled. How did that happen, she wondered. The radio had been turned to a pop station, not a Christian one. Yet, there it was, the song she'd always loved and had sung with her mother, coming out of the wobbly, static-filled radio. Aria slowly pulled her hand away from the radio knob and listened to the second verse. Then she swallowed past the lump in her throat and gripped the wheel with both hands. My chains are... But then she cleared her throat, unable to complete the sentence. Her chains weren't gone. And besides, she didn't even want to sing. She had a cough that appeared quite suddenly. Irritated and more deeply troubled than she wanted to admit, she reached out and turned the radio off. She didn't need to hear any music right now. The silence, though, only amplified the sound of her racing heart. She could feel it thud, thud, thud as she heard the sound of the few other cars whizzing past her. She blinked, focusing again on the road, the road in front of her. She hadn't been driving long when she saw an old woman sitting on the side of the road. Aria's jade green eyes slid toward her without turning her head. The old lady was hunched over, her arms clutching an old bag. She was homeless. Aria frowned, but kept driving. How was she supposed to help someone who didn't appear to really even want help? Besides that, how big was this town? How had the two homeless people found their way to a town so small it didn't even have Walmart? Suddenly, Aria abruptly turned onto a small, narrow side road. She didn't know where she was going, but that was okay. She just wanted to go somewhere quiet, somewhere she'd never been. As she drove, she kept seeing the homeless man's face. The one who only gave her this bracelet. It bothered her that Joey was happy. It bothered her that he had a bright and genuine smile. It bothered her that he could smile at all. Maybe being homeless wasn't so bad. But she scratched that idea the moment she felt her stomach muscles tighten and growl with hunger. Being hungry and unable to buy a meal would be terrible any way it was looked at. The road was narrow now, blanketed by thick trees on either side. It was gravel, too, and seemed to be especially windy, almost as though she were traveling up the side of a mountain. On up ahead was a guardrail on one side and a tall mountain of rock on the other. Slightly concerned about not seeing a place she could turn around, Aria drove further. When she glanced to her right, she saw bright clouds and a sun that was slowly sinking. In her mind's eye, she saw her father's old toys, Transformers, making something into something else. She thought of Joey, the homeless bracelet maker. But before she could really dwell on him, she noticed an entryway to a park. Without thinking twice, she turned the car into the entrance. Dense trees greeted her on both sides of the one-lane narrow drive. She passed a pasture and finally saw the sign Picnic Area to the left. Aria followed the sign and soon came upon a small playground and about a dozen picnic tables. She also saw a trail leading into the forest. She parked, and as she got out of the car, her eyes scanned her surroundings. It all looked deserted. She didn't see another car and couldn't see or hear any sign of life around her. She supposed most everyone in town was probably at church. She headed for the trail, a day alone in the sanctuary of a quiet park surrounded just by trees was exactly what she needed. Sighing, Arya opened her eyes and stared upward. She'd been in this same spot all day. The sky now looked gray, and a few stars popped out of the horizon. She guessed it was about dinner time now. She must have fallen asleep, she realized, as she slowly sat up from the ground. Along the trail she'd started hiking, she'd found a patch of land, perfectly manicured with nothing but a picnic table in its midst. She'd sat on the ground for a rest, but the shade of the trees above her and the sweet song of the birds lulled her into lying down. The next thing she knew, her eyes drifted shut. And now it was dinner time. She needed to get back. Sally and Frank would be worried and would never even dream of looking for her at this isolated park. She really enjoyed the peace here, though, and knew she'd have to return. She'd found a sanctuary. Minutes later, she slid into the car and was wondering if she'd be able to find her way out of this park when she turned the key. The car choked, spurted, and died. Oh, man, come on, Arya coaxed, and tried again, this time pumping the gas a little. It choked again, but started. Relaxing, Arya reached out and turned the air down and the lights on. What a peaceful and relaxing day she'd had. She couldn't help but wish she could just sleep there in the hideaway park. Back at Alan and Audrey's, she probably would have stayed in such a place all night and left them to worry. But she still didn't want to unduly upset Sally or Frank. Suddenly, the car pulled and spurted. Arya gripped the wheel with both hands and frowned. When she leaned forward to peer outside the windshield, she could see a small line of smoke coming from under the hood. Uh-oh, she moaned. She was back on the main road. Unfortunately, the main road was a two-lane dirt road no one ever used, particularly at night. Arya slowed but kept pushing the car along. It jerked, finally, and came to a screeching halt. Arya leaned back against the car and exhaled. Now what? She knew she was too far from the house to walk, but behind her, about two blocks past the park, was a gas station. She could walk there and call Sally and Frank to come get her. It wasn't the best option, but it was the only one she could see right now. She was glad the weather was pleasant. It was warm, but not hot. And though the street was dark because it was blanketed by thick trees on either side, it was also illuminated by the stars that covered the whole sky. In the city, or the suburbs, there were not stars like there were here. Here, it looked like every inch of the dark sky was covered with a star. Back at Audrey's, it had seemed like the stars were only sparsely arranged. The astronomy class she'd taken told her that was because of the pollution and the lights of the city. Still, Arya was glad that out here, as she walked alone on the side of this lonely, dark road, she at least had thousands upon thousands of stars by which to see. She dug her hands into the pockets and lowered her head. The only noise she could hear were the sound of her feet crunching on the gravel road and crickets in the trees. Every so often, she could hear movement in the trees as though some animal darted away. But she was never able to actually catch sight of any animal. Relief ran through her when she walked to the top of the hill and, looking down, could see the gas station. She knew it was closed. It was, after all, Sunday. But she also knew there was a payphone on the other side from which she could call home. She didn't, at first, notice the figure sitting on the porch step, looking down. All she could see was the station and the payphone. Her feet picked up speed as she walked quickly towards it. The figure on the steps grew more pronounced, and some part of her mind registered that it was Joey, but still, she ran ahead, all the way back to the other side of the store where the payphone was. She didn't know this town yet. Being alone in the dark certainly wasn't her best thing to do. She reached the payphone and picked it up. That's when it hit her. She didn't have any money with her. She'd left the house this morning with none. The way she saved money was by controlling the amount of money she carried with her. She did not have the 35 cents needed to call home. She was really stranded now. Her only hope, and it was a slim one, was to return to the car and hope it cranked after having sat for over an hour. Suddenly overwhelmed with despair and hopelessness, Aria sat down on the concrete in front of the phone. Why couldn't she have a good day from start to finish? Why did something always have to go wrong? She covered her face with her hands and leaned forward. She just wanted to cry after having such a peaceful time in the park. Why did the nighttime always bring such heaviness and hopelessness? Miss? Aria's head jerked up. Joey stood several feet away from her, his head tipped down. He wore the same gray and filthy clothes as before. His hands were deeply darkened by the sun. He looked old and weary, except for his eyes and the smile he had once shown to Aria. I don't have anything to give you, Aria said pointedly, irritated that he'd ask her for money when she didn't even have the 35 cents to get home. Nothing, she repeated, and buried her hands over her face again. I don't want nothing, Joey haltingly told her, his voice sandpaper rough, his eyes sincere. Aria lifted her head again and scowled. How can you say that? You don't even have a house or bed. He smiled brightly, the effect awesome in the way it totally transformed his face. Nope, I don't. But, he shrugged, then again, Jesus didn't either. That's why he went to the mountains, you know. Oh, so you're just crazy, Aria replied. He laughed and sat down beside her. Aria looked down and then closed her eyes. I just want to go home, she said softly. And why can't you get there? Because my car broke and I can't call my grandparents. I left my money at home. So stupid. A long moment of silence. You have feet, don't you? Joey finally asked. Yes, Aria said tiredly, I have feet, but I can't walk that far. I know, because when I ran away from my other house, I couldn't walk very far from before having to call a cab. Joey looked down at his hand and used one fingernail to clean a smudge of dirt out from beneath the fingernail of the other hand. My name's Joey. I know. My grandma told me. And who might she be? Sally. He frowned and shook his head. She doesn't really know you. She's just heard of you. The bracelets and all. Right. I'm Aria. He smiled again and nodded. A long moment of silence passed before Aria sighed heavily and stood. No sense sitting here. I guess I better start walking. She held up a hand. See ya. She'd taken four steps when she heard him stand. Aria, his rough voice asked as she turned around to see him reaching into the pockets of his gray, filthy pants. She frowned and walked two steps toward him. What are you? Let's just see what I've got here. And he pulled out his hand with several coins in it. Picking one up, Aria stood and listened to him count. I've got, let's see, a quarter. That's 25. And I've got two nickels. Hey, he added brightly, looking up at her with that smile of his. Hey, that's enough for the phone, ain't it? Silence. Aria looked to the side and then back at Joey. Ah, here you go. Go ahead, make that call. He seemed so happy that he had 35 cents. 35 cents to give to her, even though she had money back at her house. And that 35 cents might buy him a Coke the next day, or a piece of gum, or something. But Aria took a step closer to him and looked at his outstretched hand. In it, the three coins glittered, and the man's hand slightly shook. Aria realized she did not want to take this man's money. She knew it was all he had. Go on now. Your grandma's probably worried. But how will you... Oh, I'll be all right. It's 35 cents, but I reckon I've been without 35 cents before, and I've been okay. Silence. I don't want... I mean, come on, Aria. Take the change and make the call. Before she could convince herself not to do it, Aria reached out and snatched the coins out of his hand. Bending her head forward, she hurried to the phone and dialed home, trying to stomp out the guilt that was eating at her. When she got off the phone... With her very worried grandmother, Aria turned to find Joey. He'd walked away and was sitting again on the store's porch step. Aria headed that way. "She's coming," she said, and Joey's head lifted. "That's good. Thank you for the change. If you're here tomorrow, I'll..." But he shook his head and smiled. "I guess I'm supposed to meet her back at the car." Joey nodded and looked down at his own hands. "You'll be okay." "I'll be fine, miss." Aria nodded. Her heart heavy and confused, Aria turned to walk away. She'd taken several steps before she turned back to look at Joey again. "Joey," he lifted his head. "Why did you give me your coins?" He smiled. "Go home and read Matthew chapter 12. Aria put the Bible down and then frowned and picked it up again. This would make the third time she'd read the same passage. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting the money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything." First time she read it, Aria immediately thought it was Joey's way of telling her that he just wanted to be like Jesus, that even though he didn't have much to offer her, it was still all he had and was, therefore, worthy. The second time she read it, she wondered briefly about what the disciples would have thought. After all, the more money a church had, the more good it could do for its people. Half a penny wouldn't accomplish anything. The third time she read the passage, she thought of the widow. How terribly frightening it would be to put in her very last coin. Yet, she did it out of love for God and the church, out of faithfulness and out of hope. Jesus must have cared more about one person than he did about the church itself. To give all one had showed a great deal of sacrifice and love. Love? But Joey didn't even know her. He gave her his last coins because he wanted to help, because 35 cents wouldn't have really been able to get him anything significant anyway, because he felt sorry for her maybe, but not because he loved her. He didn't know her. Still, suddenly Aria was even more worried about accepting the 35 cents than she'd been before. She didn't want anyone, let alone a homeless stranger, giving her all he had. "You got to go find him," her mind whispered, and she exhaled, nodding. And this concludes the first reading of Faith by Tiffany Johnson.